to see you back. Hope that you are sufficiently refreshed. Okay, and again here, we'll just take time to raise questions, answer them, always review what you need to review so that you can always improve upon your understanding of any matter and every matter. Okay? Now, don't worry about too much about the time part of it. If you want to raise questions, you want to need a bit more time for certain things, we'll be happy to take them up. See, every time I go and talk to you all during the breaks, you've got so many questions. Then when I come here, and no questions. Okay, why don't we begin in prayer together. Our Father, we pray that you would give to us your grace, your wisdom, to know how to apply the things that we need to really work on. We pray once again for wisdom. We pray that you would help us to raise questions, that problems, doubts, misunderstanding, misconception can be dealt with. We pray for your blessings upon us as we resume the afternoon sessions. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've got a series of questions here that I would like very much to take up, and so we will take a bit of time to consider this. What is this hope that we are looking for? That will take about 3 days to work on. Okay. What is this hope that we are looking for? Now, the answer very much depends on you, what you are looking for. Really. There are many, many aspects of this system that we're looking at called hope. First, if I were to look at my own self here, I would say that I am looking for a number of things. Okay, one, I'm looking for a system of thinking that will help me realign my understanding of what hope is all about. Because it is a very, very, it's very virtually a system of our faith. Okay? And if you take a look at this whole idea of hope in the system of thinking in the New Testament, it is a whole system by itself. Let me give you an idea of what this means. Okay, let's take a look at this very carefully. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5, for example. And this is well understood and well developed. In chapter 5, Paul talks about our salvation with reference to the idea of the word hope. If we were to use a major word to describe our salvation, we can use the word grace. And that would be to emphasize the part that grace plays. And it would be correct. Right? But if I want to look at another word that would help me understand the salvation that God has given to us, it would be the word hope. For a good number of reasons. Okay? And you see this very clearly outlined in Romans chapter 5. For example, we have been justified by faith. Habakkuk's language, the just shall live by faith. And it was a system that Paul developed very, very strongly with faith there. Verse 2, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Okay? So, we enter into this grace by faith. Do we not? Because through the exercise of faith, we understand this grace and we now stand in the grace of God. But as we stand in the grace of God and understand this faith, we come across this word called hope. So if you want to understand what this hope that you're looking for, and I speak of it as a system, I would be absolutely correct. Now, let's go on further. And we hope and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What is the ultimate analysis of it all? Okay? We are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8. But our salvation is not only with reference to the fact that we have been saved from our sin, from the wrath of God, from judgment. We also are saved from and to. We hope to enter one day into the glory of God. Can you see this? So if we were to look at his salvation, and if I am going to one day see the glory of God, which presently I am not able to see fully, the way to understand it is I can see this glory of God in this hope. So the system of a doctrine of hope is very, very powerful, very strong in Christianity. Romans 5 concept. So I never lose touch of it. I never lose sight of what this hope is. For example, what about between here to here? Between salvation in Christ, promise, I'm justified. Between here to here, salvation. Where do I move from here? I have tribulation, do I not? But it's okay. I can rejoice in this tribulation, glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation will produce perseverance, character, and hope. And hope does not disappoint. So if I were to look on this principle of hope as a system, it is part and parcel of the whole idea of my salvation in Christ. Is it clear for us? Now, this is an important aspect of it that we want to consider. So my salvation understanding will move from my being saved in Christ all throughout life, and I look forward to the day when I can look at seeing the Lord face to face in fullness of glory. And what is pulling me through is the sense of hope that I have in Christ. So it is a system. A system in which from my understanding of salvation will take me from here to eternity. And it is a wonderful, it is a glorious system. You never get tired of speaking about salvation. We can discuss breakfast, lunch, dinner, tea, supper, salvation, and never exhaust it. Because it brings joy all the time. That's what our salvation should do for us. This is our hope that is in Christ. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. How do we know that this hope is there, is for real and all? Because God's love is poured in our hearts. We understand through it all. See, God's love, Our salvation, His love. See, as we go through tribulation, we see His love. You see, with hope, in one day I see Him completely in love. And it's poured out. And it is this sense of love that is there that makes salvation in Christ so precious, so real, so personal, so wonderful. But it is based on, it's sustained by this word called hope. These are interrelated words that you want to work with. So that is my understanding of hope. Now, we go on further. To expand on this idea of salvation that is in Christ, we move from there, from chapter 5 to chapter 8, same book, the book of Romans. Okay, are we clear in this matter here? In chapter 8, we see this. Now, Jeremiah struggled with the concept of suffering very, very keenly. Lamentations talks about how Judah suffered. How come God can allow suffering to take place? Right? And how he personally suffered, and he's struggling with it. But so did Paul. Between Paul and Jeremiah, Paul went to jail more often. He had this get out of jail card free, a stack of them. I mean, he really struggled with a lot. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you will realize his life is, you know, like those adventure stories, you know. Which one do you want to go? He turned right, opened the door, zoom. He went to a shipwreck. He turned on to a left, zoom, jail. And then he walked a little bit more, boom, no food. Boom, boom, betrayed by people. And so on and so forth. His life is one of those choose-your-own-adventure series. I'm surprised they have not made this into a game yet. I mean, he went through so much. Now, in chapter 8, he speaks about how he actually managed all the way through. And the one system that he employed was this thing called hope. Now, in chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, this is chapter 5 language, correct? About the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, watch this very carefully. In verse 20, the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Now, I explained this a while back about how God has got two principles under which He subjected all creation. And one, He has subjected all creation to futility. That's a frightening word. This word futility explains the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Okay? Now this is very important for us to appreciate this whole idea. We are subject to vanity. Now, vanity is not about getting your hair dyed. Vanity is not a matter of how you dress. We're talking about how it all comes down to, ultimately, the problem of futility. You know, sometimes we all like to believe with all our heart that everything we do is going to work out forever bless. No, it won't. It's only food and beverage. It doesn't last very long. You realize this? The next generation can turn it around and spoil everything. And that's a reality. That's a solemn, sad reality. It doesn't last as long as you would imagine. So you can work for the Lord, serve the Lord for 20 years, 30 years, maybe 40 years, and you still have no guarantee that it's all going to last forever with impact. There will be another generation that does not know God the way you do. And it's all gone. Unfortunately, it is subjected to futility. The opposite number for this particular end of futility is that he has also subjected this to hope. These are two systems. This is the system of things that involves two principles. And you need to understand how Paul works on this thing. Subjected it in hope. One day we will be delivered from. We will get out of all these things here. Glory. And it is this that pulled Paul along. It's not in vain, Paul. Okay? There is a higher hand. There is a higher principle. You must always labor in hope, even though it seems all is in vain. That's something that we need to look at. And so he explains the system of hope. Verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The two parts of the word adoption. One, we belong to Christ. We belong to God as His children. Two, it refers to the redemption of the physical body. We will have the body of the resurrection body one day. We were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And so this is what in theological circles is known as the doctrine of perseverance. And it is this thing that makes us press on all the time. It is a principle within that makes us look forward into the future. We persevere, we see first fruits, and we say, well, this looks wonderful. You know what? We're going to develop this. So when we develop this idea, the YAG first fruits, let's look at the concept of a YAG retreat as different from the YAG youth conference at the end of the year. And guess what? We are now into our ninth one. You see? What starts off as a thought, as a hope, as a possibility, can become reality. And that's what we work with. And always this idea of hope is there. So it is a system. A system that involves our salvation in Christ is a mindset as well. But it becomes a system of understanding God and the way He does things. And He has subjected us to both futility and hope at the same time. And it's very profound, this concept of idea of futility. Maybe one day we will take up the book of Ecclesiastes for a YG retreat. And you will see how beautiful this concept is. Right? Does it help you to see? So it is a system of thought. Now, it is not the only way to look at hope. It really isn't. Now, let's turn to the book of Romans further. And something that we really need to look at very, very carefully. In chapter 15, we all seem to know this verse only when we have weddings and we have this verse sung. And now, may the God of hope fill you with His joy and peace. in believing. And that's about it. But there is a lot of thought behind this here. Okay? Now think about this here. We have God who is called the God of hope. Now this is no longer just a system. We are introduced to the idea of the God of hope filling us with joy, peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not just a system, it is a whole mindset. Can you see this? It is a wonderful mindset. See, a lot of people don't have a strong mindset. I don't know what's in your mindset, for example. But my mindset is, I have certain things which are very, very, really, very built up inside me. I don't know how developed your mindset is. Mine is a little bit complex. I will give you a little bit of a glimpse of this mindset. If you get lost along the way, it's all right. You know, this is mine. No, it doesn't have to be yours, but this is pretty, very, very complex a thought here. This is my mind. How about that? It begins with kosong. I mean, seriously, it begins with nothing, correct? We all begin with zero. What do we know? But it is not about catching spiders. You know, it's not about flying kites. It's not about playing kuti-kuti. No. This is childish stuff. Yeah, this is all peripheral. It's not really important. Now, this mindset that I really now have involves God. He figures in my mind a lot. Okay? So if you want to look at the Lord God in my life, and I would tell you there is the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And I will still tell you, it has to do with the Spirit of God in my life. It has to do with the Scripture in my heart. It has to do with truth, which I prize above many, many, many things in life. Okay? It's about ministry. It's about the church. You'll notice that the word friends is not a very major word. You see? It's not. It's there, part of it. In fellowship, if we are in the Lord, you know, if we really understand each other, it's there. But it would be this. It would be principles. It would be knowledge. I have a system also called hope there. It's about doctrine. So I would tend to filter a lot of these things through my mind. And I would go through the whole system. Now, what do the Scriptures teach concerning God on this matter? What do the Scriptures teach on this matter? What does God say on this matter? What is the Lord Jesus Christ? What about the Holy Spirit? What about, and so on and so forth. And of course, you add life's experiences. Now, as you look at all these things here, it becomes the way, not the salvation system, it becomes the way I respond to things. It becomes the way I think. It becomes the way my mind operates. I look at anything and everything and I say, well, let me put it through a system. And by the time I put it through my system, all the things which are there, I will find an answer from Scriptures. I will have the presence of God. He will be giving, this God of hope will be there with me. He will give me the joy and peace that I know. I need to exercise my faith on this matter here, and I will be abounding in hope at the end of it all. Does it make sense to you? Now, if you don't have a clear understanding of God in your life, of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, of the Scriptures, and so on and so forth. The problems that you go through in life. Let's say yours is emo. Then everything goes through emo. Then you have a problem. I feel about this. You know, my emo tells me this. I respond in that way. I'm miserable, or I'm happy, I'm up, or I'm down. One way or the other, my system, where has it gone? Where are the Scriptures? Where's the Lord Jesus Christ and His example? Where's the Holy Spirit? Where is the church? So my emo, very small part. My mole, mostly I mole. You know, that's it. And if you look very carefully at what's happening, the whole system of hope has become not only a thing that God has given to me in the Scriptures as a system, but it must not be just theoretical system. It must become my mindset because it is now personalized. See, I distinguish between a system that God has given and my mindset, because what is given in the Scriptures may not necessarily be mine to own. Does it make sense to you? Because you say it's in the Scriptures. Yeah, that's true. We all can find the Scriptures saying the same thing, teaching the same thing. The challenge is it yours personally? Until it is yours personally, the system of truth just remains scriptural. But it's not yours at all. You can't employ it, you can't utilize it, and it's virtually useless to you. Can you see this? Yeah, can we? Sorry, yeah, and Mike. Yeah.
So when you say a system of hope, does that mean a doctrine of hope, a biblical understanding of hope? Yeah. Is that a good way to...
No. Once you go into a system, it is never just a single doctrine. It would be a whole series of stuff pulled together. It would be salvation, it would be grace, it would be faith, it would be hope on one side. There would be God's plan, God's will, Jesus dying on the cross, Holy Spirit applying. It will be all these doctrines pulled into a system so that I can string them together and it works. But it being a system, many people have a system. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but my salvation and the way I think are separate ideas. Once they become separate ideas, it's not my mindset. See, I need to develop a Christian mindset. My Christian mindset tells me how I should see things, how I evaluate things, how I respond to things, how I apply my faith, how hope works. That's my mindset. It is no longer, you know, separate from me. It's me. That's all of me. See, for a lot of people, salvation in Christ is wonderful, church is wonderful, problems are miserable. That doesn't make sense. So I distinguish between a system and a mindset, because mindset is my own. You put it through a system like Book of James, as an example. James sees, my brethren, count it all joy when you go through tribulations, trials, temptations, whatever. You know what? It's okay. Chapter 1. You have a problem, you wisdom don't have, alright, ask God. He will be happy to give it to you. That's His faith. But having said that, in chapter 1, he asked, what is faith? You say you have faith, but there are no works to produce in production. What kind of faith is that? It's rubbish. As far as he's concerned, it's as dead as a dodo. You only talk about faith. What is the reality of your faith? There is none. Chapter 2, this is his system. Chapter 3. Now, you say you have faith. Fine. How are you using your tongue? Can you see a Roman transparency? So he looks at life very, very carefully, and he says, this is the system he goes through. It's the same faith system. But he applies faith on a very down-to-earth, practical level. If you don't have works to talk about faith, you either put up or shut up. That's his idea. Do you really want to speak about your faith? Show me your works. If you only speak about faith, you know, I can do this, I can understand this, forget about it. Just show me your works. What is there to show for it? Nothing to show for it? Don't talk. That's James' system. For him, it works very, very strongly. Paul's system is a little bit more complex than James' system. Okay? Paul's system is a little bit more complex than John's system. Because it covers much more ground. With Peter's system, each one has his own system. Why say it's your own system, your own mindset? Because all of us are different. For some people, this is enough. For other people, not enough. You just got to have just one more piece. Some people, the jigsaw puzzle, can do two pieces. And still cannot figure out. Now, you have a problem there. And then, some people can have four pieces. I can do maybe 20, 40, 50. But if you ask me to do a 10,000 piece, you know, you just cannot imagine how long that will take. But I've seen people who really love that. I have one in my home, thousands of pieces, Sistine Chapel, the creation of God concerning the world. Absolutely amazing. It was about the glory of God and how all things fade away from His glory. He asked me, I don't know where to start. They all look alike. Usually separate. Green, one side. Blue, the other side. Brown, they all burnish brown all the time. Oh, they all look alike. I don't even know how the person saw it. Go crazy. But for that person, it works very well. Just not my system. You ask me to go and play games, sit down. Very, very difficult. So it's a mindset between the system. The system is there encoded in the scriptures. It's for you to pull it out and say, you know, it works for me. So I buy into a system. I can discuss with you if you wish to look at Petrine system, Johannine system, Jacobian system, James. Pauline system, because they all work differently for each one. And so you have to ask yourself, now what really works for this person, for that worker? And we all are made differently. For some people, cannot think a headache. Okay. I hope you're not asking for Panadol yet. Oh, today is so hard. Oh, I've got to think through, how come Lamentations connected to James, connected to Romans 5, chapter 8, chapter 15. Wow, Habakkuk. It's challenging. But if you can understand how they are all interlinked and your heart is lifted up and gladdened. So if you ask me, what is it that you are looking for? Well, I'll tell you. First, I look for a system. Is there a way of understanding God and His dealings with mankind? Is there a way of understanding suffering? Is there a way of interpreting all the difficulties that exist in life? Answer, yes. My system is called hope. It is Jeremiah's system. It is Paul's system. It is Peter's system. It's there. It runs throughout. Okay? Now, the challenge is, in this YAG retreat, not only to understand the system, but to help you develop a proper mindset towards it. Like, you've got to make it yours. Okay, you've got to make it yours. Without knowing without making it yours, it will be just another retreat. You go back home, and, wow, what do? Mayday. Anyway, I must tell you that part of my mindset also involves humor. I like to laugh at things. I really do. I know when I'm recovering from surgery, when a funny thought comes to my mind, and I laugh. Oh, shouldn't laugh, but there it is. Then I know that I'm recovering. It's very strange. Does this help you to see this thing here? Anybody want to raise any more questions in this matter here? Okay, this is only the first question. Now we come to the second question. How does the hope of eternal salvation link with our hope on this earth? Oh, very much. And I like this system. I like the way in which... Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. This passage becomes more and more precious to me. Okay, begin at 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 4, and then to chapter 4 to chapter 5. How does our hope of eternal salvation link up with this earthly life that we have on this earth? Okay, here's how it works. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about this life on earth. And in verse 16, he talks about his life on earth and he said, therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, the therefore part of it refers to the salvation, our confidence that is in Christ Jesus. We do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, how does he look at life? He knows it. The inward man is renewed, but the outward man is perishing. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, remember Romans 8, the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. This is Romans 8, put differently. Okay, the idea is, what's this life on this earth all about? It's not everything. This life on this earth is at best temporary. Full of trials, full of tribulations, so that the outward man is perishing. True? And that's a reality that we have to face. Right? Now, having started there, in chapter 5, he went on further. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There we go. What is this body? This body merely is a tent that houses a more important entity inside the tent, inside this body, inside this building. It's my soul. It's my spirit. See, many people look on the outside and see this is a person. No, 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 no. You should see the soul of the person. And the soul of the person is wonderful. It is eternal value. This soul got no hairstyle. It is not as you imagine. It is glorious. It is wonderful. Unfortunately, you cannot see it because you only see the person's face. How thick the glasses. When I was in India, they put a big poster on my face there. I said, where did you get a photograph from? Because I know I didn't give it to them. He said, oh, we just took an old photograph somewhere and then he just... I said, but that's not me. I said, how come? It's you. I said, no, it's not. I said, you take for example, in this photograph, my hairstyle is the other side. My parting is on the right side to the left. You know what they did? They printed the thing on the other side. So they changed my hairstyle completely. And I look at the person, it looks like me, but it's not me. But you know what? It's just a facade, it's just a physical. The real person inside me cannot, it's not noted by its color. It's not no, it. What is it? It is this person inside me. Paul says, this external body is only a building, a house that we will have one day that God will give to us, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in these tents groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Wow. You know what we should be looking at? We should not be afraid of death. We should not want to stay on to this life, on this life, forever and ever, and 103 years old, and no more, hardly any teeth left except two that happen to meet, for which you are very grateful. You cannot see very clearly, you can hear even lesser, and you still want to hold on to celebrate next year's birthday. For what? No, seriously. Shangri-La at present moment has a flesh your age thing here. Now, so we ask the people, supposing the person is 90 years old, what does that mean? And they will tell you, for a party of 8, 90% off. What? 90% off. What about the person who is 102? You know what they say? We will give vouchers for the other 2 years. Free. You eat, free. Go ahead. 102, how many 102 are there? Boy, I thought that was really, really outstanding. And it makes sense to you? But if you are 102, how many more years you want to live? How many more shang dinners you probably cannot eat? What is this? You cannot see. You certainly cannot order chicken and certainly no crabs. Nothing to bite with. No matter how strong the gums are. You cannot eat and all those things here. No, we right now, even when you are young, you long to be clothed. Now, please don't imagine this is going to be better going to die. No. We never welcome death because death is an enemy. We must be able to say, death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? 15:55. That's in 1 Corinthians. Have I made sense to you? But you know, we have this hope that this life is not everything. And in that new abode that we have an eternal body. Paul tells us, it is a glorious body. It is not measured by what clothes you wear. It really isn't. It is not measured by how you look on the outside. It's what you are on the inside, and it is glorious. It is eternal. And it is this hope that we have inside our heart that makes our life on this earth so much more exciting, so much more interesting. We are not measured by which district your house is found in. What car make you have or you're using. It really God is not interested in that. It's not important. It's looking at a person's life and you see a soul enriched and noble, experienced, powerful, strong. You begin to realize that there are very few people with such great souls. Do you realize this? For all my life, I always search for great souls. Great souls to learn, to know, to understand, to appreciate. Because this great soul, the greatness of this person's soul, tells us the true value of this person. Not interested in how much you have in your POSB. Better to say POSB than UBS at this point of time. It makes sense to you? That's what it is. It is wonderful. So our focus should not just be on things on this earth, but a cultivation of your soul. Every day I cultivate my soul. I must tell you this. My greatest cultivation, of course I have to exercise as well. Otherwise, creaking bones all the time. But you know, I can look at beyond this creaking of bone, beyond this, beyond that. There is my soul. What is my soul like this year? Is it one of faith, of greater faith, of greater trust, of greater nobility, of greater strength, of greater wisdom, of greater stability, of greater maturity? What is the state of my soul today? Can I see all these things and look beyond all these things? That is what we should be focusing on, because this is going to be one day eternal clothes. We are looking for that immortality that makes our souls so much more significantly real. So that's how we blend the both. So that is my hope of eternal salvation related to my life. See, I'm no longer cultivating my physical life. Okay, when I was young, I used to go and be, you know, must arrange this pair, this shirt forever. I don't know why. Maybe I have a tick. I have a personal problem here. What for? Look at it. That is not important. Over the years, you cultivate greatness of soul. I like the word great soul so much. I mean, you just look at a person and you look at a person's, the person's mindset, the person's ability to think, the person's reaction to situations, the person, wow. And you look at your life and you say, this is such a rich life. It really is. It's wonderful to see this. Okay? Well, those are your questions. Here is the third question. What is the basis of hope that people who do not face up to problem at its roots feel? Okay, let us say the person want to talk about hope. I hope this is what it means. Because this sentence was constructed in... Okay. We have a system, right? And we say, in order to find hope, the way Jeremiah found hope, it is not, let's get it over and done with now, let's move on. That's not how it works. Right? You cannot just simply dismiss things, sweep it under the carpet, switch off the mind, and think, okay, we must move on with hope. Why? Because the old problems not dealt with will come back and haunt you. Very obvious. I had a cousin. And he's a smoker. One day I saw him in hospital. And he had lung surgery. And he told me, look, see, I am never going to touch a cigarette ever again. I went through so much pain. And now, I eat oranges. Eat a lot of oranges, because hands all the time itchy. And he ate. And then he says, no problem. Oranges, my substitute. Or chewing gum. Or sweets. And no more cigarettes. So I say, I'm happy for you. Whatever the rest of your life, you know, be happy. You had a big scar in your life, and you'll be okay. It seems, no, his system is different from mine. My system must go to God, seeking God in prayer, asking the Lord to forgive me, asking Him to forgive me, because many people can get cancer because of my smoking, right? Secondhand smoke. I'm contributing to the pollution of the world. I will be seeking God for forgiveness. He didn't. He just, you know, he was alright with him like that. So my system will need me to go through a lot of things before I am clear. His system doesn't. Never mind, it's okay, it's over. I saw him one Chinese New Year, 2 years later. And unmistakably, his pocket bulged out. And there he was back to his lucky strike. It is not lucky. It is not a strike. But then he went back. He said, what happened? He said, boring oranges. No kick, man. So I said, why? Hey, you're, I'm already there. Slightly older than me. Already. You know, I've been trying everything. I went to church, you know, and all the same. My son, church, my daughter, they're all the same. You know what? He went back to his old smoking habit. So what's the difference? You don't deal with the sin problem there. The old problem will come back. It's just how it works. You cannot just simply turn over a new leaf like that. Because the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of overcoming sin is very clearly stated in the scriptures. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, chapter 7, sin seeks to be your master. Sin seeks to reign in your life. Sin makes you want to, makes you obey it all the time. Can't get out. That's how it is. Okay? And there off they go. And they keep on jumping the gun all the time. We think it's over. It's not. So unless you deal with it properly, be sure the old problems will come back. And you never take it for, you never allow yourself to take anything for granted. That's absolutely important. Okay? It could be a bad habit. It could be callousness. It could be procrastination. It could be whatever. You don't deal with it properly. Unless you see a complete change, that problem will keep coming back. All the time. Until you see definite changes. Okay? Now, what about people who are suffering from extreme poverty in India, in Burma, Africa, and people who have been hit by the financial crisis? What is it? What do they hope for? If you're Wall Street, you hope for a bonus. I hope that nobody will find out. No, seriously, when you look at it very carefully, what is it that people are hoping for? And you're looking at people who are, by the way, Burma or in Myanmar, they are still not hit by the crisis, you know, by financial crisis very much. You know why? Nothing to invest. The banks don't work, the system doesn't work, they have nothing to invest in. They don't have any of those things here, they really don't have. And they just life carries on. And it is. Things are as expensive as ever. It's just not working. In India, also pretty sheltered. Things are, right now, they're more concerned about election than they are worried about financial crisis. They have not been hit very, very, very hard. But let us say that, what is it that people who are in the, what do they hope for? Most of the time, the hope is on very basic, down-to-earth, everyday thing. Can I have a job? That's basic. Can I have food on the table? There are certain things which are really distinguished. We can add one more if you wish. There is the Old Testament type hope that learns how to cope with things in life. And there is the eternal hope in the New Testament. There is basic human hope. Okay? And this basic human hope that we have is just instinctive to survive. And believe me, this instinct for survival is very, very strong. Nobody is just going to say, okay, I got no food, I just sit here and die. Won't. This is why Slumdog Millionaire became what it is. Because it is an eternal hope of all who are there. I'll make it rich one day. I will succeed one day. It's there. It's an instinctive thing within the human being. Okay? Ours is more sophisticated. But the human instinct of pure survival is very, very, very strong. You look at somebody's success, you know, you think, one day I will drive a car too. But when I was young, I also said to myself, one day I want to drive a car, my first C. Sure. I see people get credit card. One day I also want a credit card. And that'd be nice. But I was a Christian, small church. And one day I want to have a big church too. Hey, that's great. Right? And so on and so forth. You can add in your own stuff. I added another thing. I wanted to be a person who I really wanted to be educated. I wanted to go and study. It didn't matter what I had to pour in to put in to just to do what I wanted to do. And that's great. I enjoyed that. And all of us, it's such an instinct within us to get to where we want to go. Okay? And then it goes on and it's there as an instinct. But later on, you've got to watch out. That instinct can become greedy. In which case, it is not instinct anymore. I want to get fatter. No. That is not instinct anymore. I want to get richer. No, it's no longer a basic instinct of survival. It's greed. And it can become very, very, very ugly. Okay? It's something that's kind of sad, but there we go. Now let's take a look at this other. What is the difference between our hope and the non-Christian hope? The non-Christian hope is just simply life on earth. It's all earthbound. You should read the book of Ecclesiastes here. So the man says, you know, I want to have wisdom. And in wisdom, we find sadness. He wants to enjoy life. He says, you know, okay, pleasure. And he is so empty. He then wants to find wealth. So he became one of the richest people, the richest man in Jerusalem. And he says, it's got no meaning. And he's trying to find, this is what the earth is looking all about. They're just trying to look for all the same things. This is the path that many people walk today. You know, when you start, and I want to be a millionaire at what age, whatever age you want. And you say, well, I want to be a millionaire. There we go. I want to have $1 million home. There we go. Can you see this? It's there. It's very real. It's very strong. I want to be wise. I want to have lots of these things and a lot of letters behind my name. Or is it in front of my name? Can you see what I'm saying? In India, it's very, very common to see, I am, right? I am Maurice, M.A. They will tell, they introduce themselves that way. Here we go. They tell me. Well, I didn't even ask anything. Hi, how are you? You don't know. He must announce a name plus whatever level of thing that they're at. And also, it's there. Because it's their own way of thinking, their system. It's not ours here. So as you look very carefully at these things here, between the world system and our system, you'll be surprised. How it is. You know, people think in terms of dollars and cents, they think in terms of money, and, you have a good life, you know, in terms of traveling, in terms of, you know, want to see the world, and so on and so forth. It's really, really quite different. And there are lots of people who are really wonderfully different. And they're precious. They live differently. Now, I don't agree with Albert Schweitzer's in his theology, but I can really quite admire the skills he has. He's probably original ADHD kind of person. First, he can't keep still. He has a doctoral degree in theology. Wow, that's great. And he's also got MD as a medical doctor. And you think that's enough? No. He has got a doctor of law, LLD kind of a thing in literature. And to top it all, he has a doctor's degree in music. Exponent of Bach. I don't mean doubt. I mean, he was a concert pianist. How can a person earn 4 doctoral degrees? One is already... And here he goes. And you know what? He threw everything away. He wanted just simply to be a medical doctor, missionary doctor in Africa. Unfortunately, he's a bit vitriolic in his language. But there you go. Can you imagine that the person can be like this? Abraham Kuyper. Here is a person, Dutch from Holland. And here is a pastor who spoke brilliantly number of languages at his dinner table. He can converse in European language, about 5-6 of them, just like that. A doctoral holder, pastor of a church. But Holland needed him. And he was asked to be, and he was elected to public office. He was Holland's prime minister, former pastor. So it was with John Calvin. He was the one who not only was a famous theologian, he designed the sewage system of Geneva. Huh? He was literally the governor of Geneva. Because all the laws people wanted to pass went through John Calvin. Yes or no? Yes or no? Should or should not? Geneva was a Presbyterian city then. Geneva doesn't even recognize who John Calvin is today. He's not interested. Unfortunately. Can you see what we're trying to look at? So you have to look very carefully at life and to ask yourself what we're working on. Now, sometimes Christians lose their moorings and they also chase after the things which the world chases after. Until you begin, as you grow older, you begin to realize vanity of vanities, all this vanity, this is not important. This is so unreal. Big deal. I hope you understand this. And then we are all, in the meanwhile, chasing after this. All right, any other questions you want to raise? Anybody else? Okay? Now, if not, I want to, of course, it says 2:30, I will just take a little bit of time here, introduce this, take a break, and come back to finish this. I figured that this will take some time to work on. Okay, now, how do we start developing a system of hope and a mindset of hope that would last you a lifetime, hopefully. Okay? Now let's turn to the book of Lamentations. Now we read on the other verses. Alright? Let's take a look at the other verses of a very long chapter. Lamentations chapter 3, and where the writer says, I recall this, I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Now, where does it all begin? Okay, now this is very, very important. It begins when you hope is a practical word. It begins when you start to apply your knowledge of God into your life. Many of us have a knowledge of God, but it's just not applied in our life. And you need to apply this consistently in your life. many of us can say, yes, we have a knowledge, but our knowledge of Christ and His application in our life may be very, very far apart. It may not even be real. It's just not applied. And we need to look at this very carefully. Okay? So, 3:22. Now, let's take a look at his thinking pattern now. Okay? So, instead of talking about all those things, he ate my flesh, my skin. Wow, you just imagine he was conscious of his flesh and his skin. This is Jeremiah. You know, not Mrs. Jeremiah. He was not allowed even to get married. God told him, marriage is not for you. Okay. So he accepted that. And he said, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Okay, are you alive today? Learn how to be thankful. Hey, so I have gout problem this morning, and thank God. By His mercies, says not consumed yet. Can you see this? If you can apply this principle in your life every day, you should look at your face first thing in the morning before the birds begin to chirp. You look at the face in the morning and you see what happened. Is that you? Ah! And I think we all recognize this. What we see on the outside after you're made up is quite a different thing. But it is a very serious problem. And it's a fact. And I don't mean just about your hair. It's your whole face. The longness, the unhappiness, the tiredness, the bags. I don't mean a briefcase. I mean around and under the eyes. And look at all these things. Ooh. And remember, begin the day with, through His mercies. Still alive. Through His mercies, He still loves you. And look at it, very difficult to understand to anybody to understand us, to accept us. But through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Yes, to all the previous verses written, 1, verse up to 19, 20. All these things are there, terrible things, and yet we are not consumed. Be thankful you are alive. I think it's very important. I like to be really greatly challenged by people who can look at life and, you know, they go through so much. Johnny Erickson Tada, for example, and she was talking about what her parents did right by her. They talk about how, you know, they came to faith and, you know, gave her a lot of encouragement, a lot of strength, a lot of hope and everything else. And look at her. She's about my age. And for the better part of her life, 30-something years, she has been a quadriplegic. From the neck down, nothing. You know, to me, it's very hard to imagine how to be even in a wheelchair. And there she is, living this life. With eternity in view. That's amazing. By His mercies, not consumed. And I think if I were to measure my faith with hers, I would pale in comparison. Mercies, not consumed. How do you apply the mercies of God? Okay, 3:22. His compassions fail not. Can you imagine? One moment he's complaining, skin age, flesh age, bones broken, teeth gravel. He's just about headed with life. Now, change. We're not consumed. Can you see this? His compassions, they fail not. Suddenly, his whole outlook towards life has changed. His compassion. He is looking. I like, this is the prayer that truly Daniel prayed, a prayer that Ezra prayed, you have not dealt with us according to the measure of our sins. If God wanted to really do you in, it would have, you won't even be able to breathe a prayer. His compassions fail not. Wow, what an attitude, what an attitude towards life. How wonderful to be able to speak of, they, great is your faithfulness, they are new every morning. Now, what a tremendous change this has been. You try. You cannot bring about this. You cannot say, okay, in the morning I'll get up. Take a deep breath and say, you try and see. The Lord's mercy through I will not consume. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You try. It will sound as hollow can be. Hope makes us say it differently. You cannot read this word. You can memorize this word. You can read this word, but you cannot bring about the meaning of this verse unless this hope is there. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. His hope in God now makes him look at life differently. By His mercies, not consumed. His compassion. You mean you can speak of God's compassion amidst all these things? Yes. They fail not. What about God's faithfulness? You mean you can speak of God's faithfulness now? Yes. They are new every morning. New every morning. What new every morning? That is what it's all about. You start off here. I don't know. I dare not to ask you how you begin each morning. I think a lot of people do not know how to begin each morning well. They really don't. They take a long time to get up in the morning. A lot of pinching of the face. A lot of splashing of the face. A lot of brushing. Some people cannot get up till they smell coffee. Some people cannot get anything done until they've eaten something. But in their heart, God's compassions, God's mercies, God's faithfulness, not there. And you know whether the system of hope is inside you by how you begin each morning. How do you begin each morning? You look all right now, after the day has begun. With a little bit of makeup, with a bit of hair blow, and you look okay. But it does not tell you what's inside you, in your soul. How do you begin each day? Can you see God? Can you apply the knowledge of God? Can you look forward to this? I had one of our school seminary teachers in Burma, and they all teased him, hey, you're not married yet, you're not married yet. At the last trip I went there, he said, Pastor, I'm going to get married. I saw him in February, say I'm going to get married soon. So I said, okay, let me give you a love gift just to help you with the marriage. But I said, before I give you, tell me how you feel. Look at my face. He said, Pastor, it's a big burden. He said, don't you? What? You mean burden? Where a burden? I have to get married. My parents expect me to get married. Everybody expects me to get married. I don't expect to get married. Burden. I mean, his face was very sad. Burden. I said, is it a money problem? He says, well, a part of it. Then how? He says, I already just earn enough to support myself. Then how? Two can live as cheaply as one. It has not understood marriage in Burma. How? And he was very, very sad. I mean, I've never seen a person look sadder than this person at the prospect of getting married. And he said, burden. The word was, I said, why use the word burden? He says, it's true. I must tell the truth. It's a burden. And no matter what I tried to do, talk to him, he said, something to look forward to. No, burden. What are your wedding plans? No plans. They said, man, let's have a dinner for everybody, that's it. Then here, this is a card for you. It was just a, you know, home printed card, and then in so and so invite you, that's it, nothing else. Said, you're having a special name? No. Burden. Very sad way to look at life, you know. And you have to ask yourself, so, well, we're glad Chana is here, he's getting married. I hope he's not. Yeah, I mean, you know, see, he's getting married too. How? No, I'm serious. You know, it's just about life itself. Every year, as I grow older, I want to begin each year with, truly, by His mercies, not consumed. You know, could have died. But by His mercy is not consumed. As I look at my own life, many ways of looking at my life. I look at my own life through my medical history. People always ask me, they always give me, please tell us your medical history. Small column. They ask me, any more? And you got long page now. They look at me, how come you went through so much? Isn't it exciting? And look at it. And you see your life and you say, you know what? Mercies. Through His mercies, not consumed. Compassions fail not. His faithfulness new every morning. If you were to ask me how I look at my life and how I understand it, I would put all these things in and say, that's how I see it. Seriously. So I was one of them, my physio. Can you tell me about yourself, please? A whole list of stuff. So many things. What? Any more? Yeah, I said, yeah, you forgot that surgery. Surgery? I said, yeah, what is this? Any more? I said, enough. Don't tell you anymore. I said, well, you've gone through a lot. Huh? Yes. How do we survive? You look backwards and you use one word. His mercies. Truly, His mercies. Right? We are not consumed. Illness can consume us, can kill us. Problems can destroy us. Setbacks and difficulties. We go through so much. Really, we go through so much more than perhaps your generation. Those of us who are post-war children. Post-war babies. We all have our own share of difficulties. But there we go. To me, to be able to go to a physiotherapist is a luxury. In the early days, you just stand as you can. You don't care. You can stand, it's good already. Right? When you go down and play in a garden down there, I step on a nail. The nail went through my foot. And guess what? They look at it, I'll just pull it out. Just squeeze out a bit of blood. Put a bit of sulfur and a lime. I don't know how it works. Get a piece of cloth, tie it up. Okay, go. Remember, boys don't cry. That was it. There was no anti-tetanus jab. There was nothing there. If you were bitten by a dog, you know how we treat the dog bites in the early days? I know I helped to treat people dog bites. The postman come to the house, dogs went and bite him. Oh, he was very upset because he's also Muslim, you see. And then dog is dirty, so it was very painful. Say, no, don't worry, I know how to help you. Everybody got around. You know how we help the person? I don't know why it works. But he said he feels better. Matches. matches. Don't know why it would work. Light it, but don't let it burn. Just burn the thing and then place it there. Are you feeling better now? You feel better now? Yeah, all the Lord say he felt better, he really felt better. That was it. It was Kampong style. That's how we survived. And you know what? We survived. And so, as you look backwards, and you begin to realize, truly, through His mercies, you know, we are not consumed. Because we could have died from all sorts of things. Tetanus, infection. We survived cholera. That's how we were. We survived cholera. The best part of cholera was, no need to go to school. The sad part of it was, that the government came and put a lot of chlorine to our ponds and tens of thousands of fish died in our pond. And the government didn't even compensate at that point of time. It was a very painful thing. And that was cholera. And then we had racial riots fight. Again, best part of it, no need to go to school. But you know, there's a child's perspective. Through His mercies, not consumed. And then we were through the days before PAP came in, and Mr. Lim Yew Hock's times, you'll read about it in history, we lived through it. And there's Barisan Socialists, they used to stay up until the next night just to see who won, hoping that PAP would win. I never been PAP cadre, but have been a PAP supporter, quietly so, and all my life, actually. You know, and it was exciting to see all these things all coming to pass. And then you look backward, truly, through His mercies, not consumed. You think about it. You just think about it, and you see, truly. His compassions fail not. Sin after sin, problem after problem, setback after setback. Truly, God's compassions are wonderful. And God's faithfulness, from the earliest times, going through problem after problem, challenge after challenge, it was all God's faithfulness. Every day, new. It's true. You look at life, and you look at the things you've done with your life. You see how God's faithfulness is there. You know, as you begin each day like this, you actually see a stirring. It's come from hope. This attitude comes from hope. And then you look at hope, and you begin to realize, wow, this is really powerful stuff. It is. It's heady stuff. So you look at all the problems and challenges of life. You're not afraid. You know what? You're not upset by anything easily. Why? Because you have seen the Lord's mercies, His compassion, and His faithfulness. That is true. His mercies. Can you see this? His compassion, His faithfulness, they are truly new. When he went through operation, my first operation, wow, I stayed in hospital 10 days. I don't know why it took me so long to recover. But partly was scared. I was really scared. The last operation was even more major, 5 days. Because I had learned. Not afraid. Are you afraid? No. Why not? You see, I had learned this system very well. And you look at life, and you look at life very, very carefully, and you cannot but see the Lord's mercies. I'm being kept by the Lord's mercies all this while. I will be kept further. Okay? And if I should die, I still have my eternal hope. 2 Corinthians 5. Not afraid of dying one way or the other. Okay? So there's mercies. There's compassion. Compassion from the Lord. And then I also see His whole idea of His faithfulness. And so if I look at all these things combined together, and this is, if it comes from hope, then I have this wonderful living hope within me. So every morning I begin each year of life, I begin this note. How wonderful it is, they are new every morning. Now very quickly, I want to go on to the next part of it, then we'll come back very shortly. Now, I want to encourage you, every year, or more often than once a year, choose God all over again. Verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. I choose the Lord. This is my portion. Every year that passes by, I choose the Lord all over again, even more. I can give up anything, but I will not give up this relationship with the Lord. So I choose Him. So I really say, the Lord is my portion. So did Psalmist David. The Lord is my portion. This is my inheritance. I choose the Lord. They don't really care what people say about me. I just want to say, the Lord is my portion. And you know, the moment I understand this, Jeremiah says, therefore I have hope. Now, twice now, it is stated. Twice now, watch this. This I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope. Choosing the Lord afresh. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. I have hope. This hope continues. I hope in Him. What lies ahead? I don't know. What illnesses lie ahead? I don't know. You know, my surgeons always tell me, okay, this operation effectiveness will last you 10 years. My 10 years up already. What? That's it? Will there be problems, complications? I sure hope not. But you know, I want to hold on to this hope. I really do. And that's how it is. I think of His mercies. I think of His, Lord, You've been merciful to me. You have shown me compassion. You've shown me faith, made me Your faithfulness to me. You know, Lord, I want to tell You this. I don't know what lies ahead, but this I will tell You. I will choose You as my portion. This is what I want to do. And you know, somewhere, somehow, this hope is stirred up inside me. Therefore, I have hope. I hope in Him. My hope is in the Lord, in His mercies, in His compassion, in His faithfulness. Can you see this? And when we look at this thing here, it is wonderful to be able to appreciate this. And when we look at this hope there, it is now not only a system for me, it is not only my mindset, it is now my daily, daily strength. Hope has become now a part of me. It's the way I look at life, it's the way I live, it's the way I respond, it's my response mechanism now. It's just so wonderful to be able to have the sense of hope. Okay? Now you really need a break. Alright, we will stop here for a while. Take a break. And then come right back afterwards. Okay? Well, let's pray before we go. Our Father, we just want to thank You for the joy that we can have as we think about how the Lord Jesus became our Savior and gave us this hope of glory one day in heaven. We pray that as we look at how this system can become our mindset, help us to rejoice in this thought. We pray that You will help us to cultivate a powerful system and mindset within us so that we can face life believing very, very much in Your mercies, in Your compassion, in Your faithfulness to us. Help us to choose You as our portion, as our inheritance in life. Help us to find renewed hope again and again. Refresh us with this break, we pray in Jesus' name.